This session is Diverse Voices from Our New Literature.
And our second speaker is Monica S. Monica.
Hello. My name is Monica S. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'll just start with my story that's in Diverse Voices. And, you know, I definitely encourage anyone who, you know, when they're coming out with a book, if you have something to say, you know, get it down. If you have some experience, strength, and hope on the subject, do it, because, you know, you never know. So the name of my story is BIPOC and Agnostic in Detroit. So it says, I joined Overeaters Anonymous during the COVID-19 pandemic as an overweight, bipolar, Black atheist woman. I am still all of those things, except now I'm at a healthy weight and I consider myself agnostic or spiritually agnostic. I have a few ideas on the conception and understanding of my higher power. After listening to an OA podcast on the Big Book, I came across an idea that I could live by. Quote, if God were small enough for me to understand, he would not be big enough to help me. Related to that point, I say, if my divine mother goddess were small enough for me to understand, she would not be big enough to help me. This change makes higher power more relatable to me. It helps me to reconcile the contradiction between the idea that I believe God is not male or female, yet whenever God is referred to in the Big Book, it's always he, him, his, etc. I feel that the female side of God does not get enough attention, and that does not seem fair to me. Happily, in this program, I can choose a higher power of my own understanding. I am one person, and my power is limited. Another person's power is limited as well. However, when we join together at a meeting, we earnestly and honestly work through our compulsions regarding our food addiction. An energy is present that no one person has the power to create on their own. That energy is a power greater than me that has brought me closer to sanity, not only with the food, but in all aspects of my life where I have had trouble. I have a lower inner self and a higher inner self. My lower inner self tells me lies and wants me to stay in junk food and in other unhealthy eating habits. My higher inner self is my higher power, whom I choose to call goddess. I will never be perfect like her, but I allow her to guide me in an orderly direction in life, and I follow her lead to the best of my ability. With faith in the strength of my higher power's love for me, I can suppress and contain my lower inner self. I am manic depressive or bipolar, and I have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD. But I am able to function well in life because I am honest about what I need. Everyone's needs are different. What works for me is medication and therapy. When I spoke with my psychiatrist, she asked me if I was in any one-on-one or group therapies. I mentioned that I attend OA meetings regularly. She said that the OA program of recovery was an awesome form of therapy. I believe she said this because though OA does not give medical or nutritional advice, OA does lay out the groundwork for physical and mental healing from compulsive overeating through its spiritual program of recovery, through the 12 steps, the tools of recovery, and my higher power. And the third part is, I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, the United States. I am very proud of my city. Detroit is over 80% Black, with a growing Latino population. And despite Detroit having the highest rate of death related to obesity, most people in my home city have not even heard of OA. I joined OA through online meetings only by chance after hearing about it on a diet podcast for a weight loss clinic. After almost a year of online meetings, I went to an in-person meeting in a suburb of Detroit. No one there looked like me, because without public transportation, it's difficult for people of color to get to and from the city to meetings in the suburbs. I love online OA meetings. I will continue to attend them. However, local in-person meetings need to be accessible to people who do not have the internet or are not able to drive out to the suburbs. One of the most important principles of OA's 12-step, I'm sorry, scratch. One of the most important principles of OA's step 12 strongly encourages service and outreach to those who still suffer from compulsive overeating. A solution I called the only fellow I knew in Detroit from the online people of color meetings. I asked her if there were any face-to-face OA meetings inside the city. She told me there used to be before the 2020 pandemic. I told her I would like to start one again and for it to be a part of the OA Greater Detroit Intergroup. She said she would call to see if the meeting facility was still available. She also asked me if I personally would be willing to commit to attending the meetings every week. I told her I would commit to it because no matter our race, as sisters and brothers in the OA Fellowship, we are the message to each other. For that message to resonate with all people, I understand that it is important to show that recovery is possible, including for people who look like me. Detroit, Michigan, USA. Going along with my story, I just wanted to say OA gave me the right to be spiritual back. I kind of rejected the spirituality I grew up with. But OA said you have to have a power greater than yourself. And I said, okay. And I love the fact that I can be spiritual my own way. And I also love the fact that it teaches me about ego. So that means that I don't judge people who, based on their religion, whatever, it could be my old religion, it could be a new religion, it doesn't matter. Whatever works for you is what you need to do. And as an update on what's going on in Detroit, I did start that in-person meeting in Detroit. It is successful. And OA is more accessible and getting more and more accessible to people in Detroit, people who look like me. And that is really exciting for me. and I'm going to keep going. And I did that in part with the World Service Unity with Diversity Committee, and with the Greater Detroit Intergroup, and just not giving up. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Monica. And now our third and final speaker will be Raja. Welcome, Raja.
Hi, everyone. I'm Raja. I am a food addict in recovery, maintaining a stable back-to-back abstinence for the past almost 13 years now. I maintained a weight loss of 110 pounds, which is like 52 kilograms. I honestly, I feel now tense, so I've said the serenity prayer many times as I was listening, because I did not write what I want to say. I will just share with you my story with this amazing recovery program. I struggled with weight issues for like all over 30 years, during which I did every diet in the world, committed to exercise, underwent 4 years of psychotherapy, and even did a lap band surgery. I tried every traditional and untraditional weight loss method. And when I was like 49 years old, I was happy, carrying myself well in life, but my weight kept fluctuating for an average of 30 pounds every year. So I became like the talk of the time, because no one around me was like was having such a trouble and with weight. People would like lose weight for 5, 10 pounds, and that's it. I was like a phenomena in amongst in my community, let's say. So I felt really hopeless and helpless, and I wished death many times, despite the many good things in my life. When I went to the internet, I found a website that gives like kind of workshops about food addiction. By the grace of God and or my higher power, I managed to travel specifically to attend that workshop. And it was there when I was educated about food addiction and learned about the OA program. What I want to say is, since then, in July, it will be 13 years. So this is the first time in my life I experience a stable weight, not only weight, a surrendered and content attitude, a peaceful, I'm liberated from the anguish of food and weight and this struggle that really consumed me throughout my life. So when everyone now, so let me now, after I entered this program, I actually never did the steps in a structured way. Nonetheless, I utilized the 9 tools of recovery. So I am from Jordan, which is an Arab country, and to travel for such to seek solution for such a problem would be bizarre to tell people around me about it. So I did not tell anyone why I traveled to the USA. So it was like only a week, and then I came back to my home country. After being introduced to such a big, deep program, so there was no one in my country who was familiar with the Overeaters Anonymous or even AA. Maybe AA there were, but not to my knowledge. So I had to I isolated myself for like 2, 3 months, and I read as many books, OA books, as possible. The AA book, actually, I got that spiritual click after reading Bill's story. I think I was amongst those who were fortunate and blessed to get that click. I really realize that I was powerless over food, despite my ego that refused to accept that my willpower is not enough. But thankfully, thank God that my ego was like suppressed at that moment. And it was then when I started addressing the primary problem, not the secondary. For the first time in my life, I realized that my problem was with food, with my relationship with food. It wasn't the weight, because I lost weight many, many times, but I never kept it off. And then I realized that my insane eating, my compulsive eating, was what was tormenting me more than my weight. Because I would be serene and happy when I commit to a food plan, regardless of how much I weighed at that phase. So it was then when it clicked. My problem is not the weight. The weight is going and coming back. So thankfully, I addressed the primary problem, and I got that click. And thankfully, I realized that this click and this surrender, amazing surrender or miracle, would not have lasted if I had not nurtured what I learned. I realized that I needed to recharge that surrendered situation that I experienced. So I self-taught myself. I read many OA books. I attended almost, had every, there were, by the way, no online meetings then. I used to listen to recorded meetings on the OA website. I also had like this connection with the people who were in that workshop. I utilized the 9 tools except for the sponsorship, which is a very vital tool. I'm aware of that. I just couldn't get myself to do it. So I decided to let the literature, the enormous amount of literature out there, thanks to OA and whoever is working to carry that message. There is a lot of resources on the internet. I watched many videos that speak about 12 steps. They were mostly about AA. I never had a problem with alcohol, but I realized that I can like adapt alcoholism to food. And I read the book, the big book, maybe 3 times. And I can't recall one day in the last 13 years where I have not read from the OA for today booklet. I spend every day like 15 minutes reflecting on that reading, on the daily reading. So it's kind of, I found a sponsorship, a combination of literature, my higher power, and the knowledge out there. So I've been maintaining my weight loss. And so when people in my community noticed the difference, that this is the first time I maintain a weight loss, people started asking me. So my home turned into an OA conference hall. And I carried the message for like 3 years, and then I suddenly stopped, mainly because I was frustrated from not being able to kind of make people understand the difference between spirituality and religion, because I'm not a religious person. And in the Arab world, it's like 90, in Amman, in Jordan, it's 98% Islam and 2% Christian. And they couldn't see that we could connect with the Creator without needing any religious channels. So I was kind of frustrated, and then also frustrated from not being able to make people differentiate between the abstinence approach and the dieting approach. But I have been maintaining my own recovery. I wrote a book in Arabic, which I considered my service, about this program, and here I am now maintaining my own recovery. Thank you for giving me the chance to share my story.
Thank you, Raja. We will now open the floor for questions and answers. Okay, this question is for Evangeline. How does living in the solution change how you live each day? Evangeline.
Yeah, so for me, living in the solution means that I live in the steps and I live in the and the tools of the program. That's how I try to live my life and how I, just using all the tools of the program and using the spiritual principles of the steps. Thank you.
All right. There is another question. I have also experienced religious people who don't believe I can connect with my creator without having a man-made spiritual practice. I love that you mentioned that. Thank you very much. What's your favorite way to connect with your higher power?
I love this question. Well, the best way is I address my higher power by my mysterious power. I call it the mystery. I usually address my higher power with the mystery in this universe, and I connect. I feel a connection when I address it as the mysterious power.
Thank you.
I was just going to say the two-way prayer, and that is how I connect with my higher power. I say, I write out my prayer to my higher power. I meditate and listen for the answer, and then I write out what my higher power has told me. And has been really helpful in getting me to come to answers for decisions or questions that I have. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, so let's start with Evangeline's feedback on this. How has your relationship with abstinence, how has it changed over time? How has your abstinence changed over time?
I think it's changed a lot. I think that there was a time when I was, my abstinence was like rigid, so rigid. Like if I had to measure everything that I ate, and if I, had one extra thing, then I broke my abstinence. My abstinence now is much simpler. There are definitely certain foods that I don't eat. I have to stay away from sugar. Sugar is my nemesis, so I stay away from sugar and most flour products. And my abstinence as far as food is concerned is to have 3 meals a day with nothing in between, and to adhere to those foods that I know cause me a lot of trouble. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's take some feedback from Raja. Raja, how has your abstinence changed over time?
Speaking of the food plan, I'm still committed to the same 4-meal food plan that is free of sugar and flour. I don't eat between meals, and I love that disciplined eating because it brought me peace of mind. My abstinence changed because I realized that it's not the food. If I don't become a more surrendered, accepting person, any emotions would shake my abstinence. So I would say my abstinence shifted, started physical, very physical, food focused. And then I was concerned about my temporary emotions, and I actually took some courses how to cope with feelings. But the higher power part in the OA program is what made me a more accepting person. Just the fact that I realized that my life is not in my control gave me peace of mind. So now I am so keen of staying in a surrendered peace, accepting my the creator's will, that rather than my will, this is how my physical abstinence is maintained, through prioritizing my spiritual abstinence.
Thank
That's
you.
it.
Thank you. Monica, if you'd like to give a quick response on that about how your abstinence has changed over time, and then we will go to two more questions in the queue.
Yes, it's just gotten more disciplined. There's one program, it's like the How program. It gives you a sheet. It's similar to some what other people have said, like no white flour, no sugar, 3 meals a day, nothing in between. And I write my food plan every morning to my sponsor and email it to her. Thank you.
Okay, Monica, this is a question for you. How do you deal with OA meetings that end in the Lord's Prayer?
That's a great question. Well, two ways. One thing I would do is, I do believe that the Lord's Prayer comes from the Bible, so, and we're not a religious organization. And so what I would do is have a group conscience and take that issue to the group conscience and let the group conscience decide if they want to continue to do that. And if they do continue to do that, I mean, one, you know, you could take it to the intergroup level, or one thing that I do, because I'm, I would say, super busy, is when I'm saying, I have been in meetings where that happens, and what I'll do is instead of saying our Father, I'll say our Mother who art in heaven, hallowed be, you know, her name, and I say thy kingdom come, you know, not thy kingdom come, but that's just me. You can kind of change it how you need to for your program, for your recovery. Those are my two ideas.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. For any of you who have experience, and I believe one of you already shared with it, how do you deal with being in the midst of a share and having somebody cut you off and say, outside issue?
Yes, I can speak to that because I've had that experience that when that happened and it came up with, you know, the meeting that I was in where everyone was talking about COVID and somebody said something about the racial injustice. And it wasn't me who said it. It was someone else who said it. And I stepped up and I said, you know, we've been talking about COVID. I stepped up and I said, we've been talking about COVID all this time. Nobody said, that's an outside issue. What's the difference between? So I spoke up and I said, it was very uncomfortable. I absolutely got no support whatsoever. But anyway, that's what happened.
I usually say, like, if it's me, this is about my program and my recovery, and I need to voice this in order to, you know, for my own recovery, and that, you know, I don't want to eat about it. So I'm going to talk about it. And then the other thing, as an ally, as a, let's say if it's a racial issue and it's a white person talking, I know when this happened to me, I had a white friend, an ally, say, absolutely not. You will not do that to her. And she defended me. And I've never felt so united with OA before in my entire life. So anyway, I stood up for myself, and I would encourage our white allies or our straight allies or our neuronormal allies to stand with us. Thank you.
I just wanted to just this little comment. I was just thinking that, you know, we don't have a problem speaking up in our meeting, like when somebody is not using OA literature. So if more people can speak up when these injustices are done, that'd be very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And I see a question in the chat. What can I do as a member in the meeting observing this scenario? OA, if you go to oa.org and look at resources, and you'll see news. There's an article in there, a beautiful PDF, about when an outside issue is not an outside issue. And the crux of it is, and this can be cited at a meeting or brought up at a business meeting, anything that affects my recovery in OA is an inside issue. Thank you. Okay, so Evangeline, Monica, and Raja, thank you so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us today.